Happy Friday, y'all.
Yes, happy Friday. Next week is Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing my math correct.
We are a week out from Ethan being one. We're doing cocktails and cupcakes, but we're not drinking. So we're just making like fun mocktails and just like, come over, have a drink, a tapas and a cupcake. We're not doing this big thing, but he's so cute. I just can't believe like time flies so fast.
No,
I don't like it. I know. To be honest.
No, I know. It's a lot.
And I really just want them, like, I don't miss the newborn phase, but what I do miss is being able to lay them down and they can't move. They can't move. All they can do is make noise. You know what I mean? Cause like now it's just like everywhere all the time. There's no,
and then they get to the age where like they follow you everywhere and you have no time to even go to the bathroom because my daughter finds me everywhere I am.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson is now in the stage of like, all he wants to do is play baseball on Xbox. And so I have to come up with like, okay, when we get home, you have to do your homework. I'm going to print off math worksheets for you because you don't get homework really. You get a book to read every night and that's it. That's like seven pages.
Yeah.
I mean, it's seven. But otherwise, you're literally just going to go up, sit upstairs. And because it's 14 degrees outside, so it's not like we're going outside anywhere. And
yeah.
So I'm getting him into more sports. Like at least then we have things at night to go to.
Yeah. We have too much right now, I feel. But it's also just because
soccer.
Art goes. Well, it's soccer and jujitsu and then travel soccer on top of the camps and like all the things. But I have a funny story. Freaking Marcus, man. So on Saturday, I'm like cooking dinner and putting Ethan down. I come out and I'm like, isn't Marcus like yelling for you? He's upstairs showering. And Art's like, okay, let me go check. So he goes in there and then he comes down and he's like, babe, Marcus fell in the shower and like, it looks really bad. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go check this out. Like he didn't like think to call us or whatever. Bro did not fall in the shower. Bro was in mom's makeup and made it look like this massive bruise on his neck. Because I go up there and I'm holding Ethan now and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I'm not stupid. There's no way the way you're describing this fall, like this would happen. Like it's making it sound like your neck hit like on the ledge. And I'm like, that's not even feasible. Like, do you understand the lie that you're telling right now is like not even something that could have happened? Yeah, he was like in my makeup and I don't know because it's my Saint makeup. Like it didn't look too bad in the palette, but I'm like looking around and I'm like, this is makeup. And like, I'm about to drive you to the ER because I think that this is a bruise because it was like also like really dark. And I'm like, let me see, like, what is going on? Let's go get the bright light. And Art's like, I'm going to get a cold compress. I'm going to get some Tylenol for him. I'm like,
Art, no.
No.
Oh, like, Art, so he wasn't in on it. Mark.
He was not in on it. And like, both of us were like, we're really confused right now. What's going on? And so the way that he did it. And I just was like, okay. And so then they like got into it because Art was very upset about like the lie and then like continuing to lie. And I'm like, okay, I still have to get this baby to go to bed. And now everyone is like angry with each other. And then I'm like, what are we going to do? Because I'd love to know from parents out there, when you punish your kids, it's really punishing you, right? Like I basically was saying, you can't go to this birthday party tomorrow. But then also like it's your whole school that's going to the party. And that's also 2 hours that I was going to be able to run errands and like do other stuff. So we were basically just like, well, we're taking away, but we don't really do iPad much anymore. So we're like, okay, well, that's the only thing that I don't know. But
oh my God, did fall out of the shower last week and bruised both of his shins because he slipped getting out and landed on like the ledge of the shower.
Poor Carson.
And Taylor jumps out of the shower every day. The child doesn't walk anywhere. Like she's either jumping or she's skipping or she's hopping. She's learning to, I don't even call it learning to jump rope at this point because it's not actual jump roping, but I was in the shower last night and I just hear this like huge thumping over and over again. And it's her jump roping, but obviously not very graceful. So she's like landing with the ultimate force on the ground every time. And she can only do one at a time. And the jump ropes are too long for her anyways. And so it's like, but she is now jump roping everywhere in the house. And she knocked a pan off of the stove that I had heating up. Thank God it had nothing in it. And I like just started heating it up. She was jump roping in the kitchen and the jump rope caught the edge of the pan and she was like, ah! And I was like, oh my God.
Thankfully, there wasn't like, I'm imagining like rice just like flying.
No, over. I was like, best the case scenario, it had nothing on it yet. And it like had just started and it hit no one. And so I think it did dent the wooden floor though. Because it felt, yeah. And then Nick made a brisket chili on Sunday and cut through his fingernail with a knife.
Ouch.
Luckily, it wasn't too bad. Like, it wasn't bleeding too much. But I realized how much I panicked myself. I don't even, like, get that grossed out by blood or anything. But I heard him go, oh, shit. And then I saw him grab his thumb and ran over to the sink. And I all of a sudden got really lightheaded because I think I, like, got so nervous for what could have possibly happened. And then I was lightheaded for, like, 15 minutes after that. I was like, oh, my God, Becca.
You're not stressed or anything. This is not a bad stress response. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like they just want to give you mini heart attacks. Like, you know,
chaos all the time.
Chaos all the time. That's right.
Disasters all the time. Messes all the time.
Mm-hmm. I text Becca on Sunday and I was like, I'm going to take my sweet time with this workout because from 5:15 until 8, all I heard was mom, mama, mommy, mom, mom. Mom. And I was like, for the love of God. And he's like, where's dad? Where's dad? I'm like, he is sleeping with Ethan and you're going to wake them up. And if you wake them up, he's going to be really upset. And so am I, because I got up to have my time. And 5:15 on Sunday, you need to like find something else to do.
I was leaving daycare last night and I heard a dad talking to his two kids and he goes, all right, guys, good news. We're not going to swim lessons. Bad news. I have to work tonight. So you guys got to entertain yourselves. And there's like a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. It's like, at least I'm not the only one sometimes that feels like I work all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I really do try to be present, or like I ask Nick, like, hey, can you take the kids so that I can have an hour to like finish up some work or something? Or I tell the kids, I'm like, hey, I need to work. Let's put on a show. Let's, you know, go in the toy room. I need some time. But they just don't get that. Like, it's impossible for them to leave me alone when I am in the house. And so,
yeah.
You know, I love our children. It's a hard phase right now, right?
Yeah. I posted this morning, and I know you have the same journal. You've had it a little longer than me. So, but just looking at like the balance of everything and then like trusting God that like, how do we do it all? Cause a lot of people will say like, I want to know your day to day, like hour by hour schedule. Like, how do you do it all? And I'm like, honestly, like it changes every day. And I don't know how I do things. There's still a lot. Like I probably have 12 to-do lists in various places because that's my level of organization. So that's a goal for 2026, which is a perfect time for us to talk about 2025. And like, there's so many things that have happened that are so great, but obviously we have such big dreams. But I posted this morning on Instagram talking about this because truly, I think you would agree with us. We, as business owners, and you know, we met each other in what, end of 2016, 2017, like we're going almost into a decade now. It's like, I could not have put into words what we have today. And then now I'm trying to figure out how do we put into words like the bigger vision, right? Because obviously we're doing all these things with some new mentors and things, which is exciting. But yeah, there's just, it's been so much growth all around, and then so much chaos and so much sense and feeling of,
I think,
dropping balls
for 2026 is to stay more focused because we have this big goal and we know what it needs to take for us to get to that goal is for us to not take clients and have a lower client load. But I think the hardest thing, I'm sure for Liz as well, but for myself, is like,
he's going to get kicked out.
Talk to these people, you just want to help them.
Oh yeah.
And you get pulled into the, okay, I don't care about that. Like, I just need to help this person sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you're dealing with water retention, you're waking up puffy, your ankles or your wrists are really swollen, or you can't get your rings off, and maybe you're even dragging throughout the day, no matter how much water you drink, there's actually a good chance that you're not actually hydrating properly.
Exactly. Because water alone is not enough. You need electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium, magnesium, because those things actually pull water into your cells. Otherwise, you're basically just flushing it out and wondering why you're still tired, you're still bloated, and you're still sluggish.
But here's the thing. Most electrolyte supplements out there aren't helping you in any way because a lot of them contain things like natural flavors, food dyes, and maltodextrin, which can irritate your gut. And these things can also spike your blood sugar when you're trying to heal.
That's why we both started using Buoy. It's super simple. There's trace minerals and electrolytes in liquid form. No flavors, no colors, no sugar, no sweeteners. And you squeeze it into whatever you are drinking. Water, coffee, tea, smoothies, you name it.
And it's clinically backed by science too. So studies have shown that Buoy helps you hydrate better, 64% better, in fact. And that's data coming from key blood and urinary markers, not just marketing fluff. And honestly, you can feel the difference. I've had many clients tell me their digestion's improved, they have less headaches, and they're better energy throughout the day.
And Buoy isn't just for people that go to the gym all the time and sweat a bunch. They actually offer a 35% lifetime discount for anyone that's struggling with chronic illnesses. Things like POTS, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, chronic migraines, and every autoimmune condition. They're really committed to making better hydration accessible to people who need it most.
I actually throw it in my coffee every morning because it's such an easy upgrade. You don't even taste it, but you're definitely going to notice if you miss it.
If you're tired of playing hydration roulette and want something that actually supports your body, you've got to try Buoy. It's honestly one of the simplest ways to feel better faster. And it comes from a good place, but it also continues to defer us from what the bigger goal in mind is to build our team so that they can be the ones taking that and we can continue to grow the business via speaking engagements, webinars, content, like to reach more people because of what we know we can offer. And that's what I think has happened over the past years. Like we had the plan and we did lower our client load. I'm proud of us for that in terms of like, it has gotten better.
It's gotten better. It's minute.
Great. So
it's like maybe like five clients. Like, let's be honest with ourselves because we are both that personality, but the way that I really have started to shift this, and I think having Ethan has helped too, but really with what we have on deck and our dream and our vision is my team. I truly believe we are hiring the best people. We are training the best practitioners. They're going to serve you even better. Yes. You still get my oversight. I can still talk with them. Like, you know, my team comes to me directly anytime. So this is going to be better for you because honestly, like I'm getting to that place where, and I think you feel this too, when we're focusing on creating, whether this is creating reels or it's working on like the webinar presentation. So just like a fun fact, if you guys are listening, in January, we're actually going to be doing a 5-day webinar series all on blood work. We're just going to deep dive and try to give you as much knowledge as we can in those 5 days around every piece of the blood work panel that we run. For us to do that though, that takes multiple days. Like you're going to see 5 days of 30 to 45 minute webinars. For us, it's going to take multiple days putting together the PowerPoint, the presentation, the education, obviously on the sales side, the marketing side, getting all of these email campaigns to let people know so they can sign up, right? To register. It takes a lot to put something like that on. That's like, you know, this event, but most importantly, it takes us because we are the people that have to deliver that content. It's not something that somebody else can replicate. Whereas taking on more cases is something that we feel, you know, the team that we have now can replicate. And I'm excited for 2026, just in terms of like what we chatted around this week, the pediatric side, growing that. Andrea's done an amazing job having her continue to partner with other practitioners that have experience with children, but mentoring them in that way. And we're just seeing some really great wins that I'm really excited about the team we have and bringing new practitioners on at the start of this year that have different expertise that, you know, we've been looking for. And so all that said, the way that we want to kind of talk with you guys today about, you know, the new year coming up and reflection is you have these big goals, you have these big dreams. Like we're sitting here and we're talking about some things that we have, and we haven't even shared half of like really what our vision is. And we'll do that at some point in the beginning of the year, probably, but it takes that focus and that intent and that discipline and putting your blinders on. And really, and to do that, I think you have to have the right people around you. You have to have the right intent in terms of like heart, right? Like I'm not looking at certain things that we're doing from a financial lens. I'm looking at this as like, okay, we see this huge, this massive problem with people being dismissed by their doctors, being told everything is normal. And there's so much that we can get from blood work. How do we teach that to people so they can advocate for themselves? Like that message that I got, right? That I shared with you and Lindsay, a woman that I did this interview for, this lab work review for in the spring. Unfortunately, she didn't sign up or wasn't able to sign up for our program, but I was very straightforward with her. Like there are some strong parasitic trends here. You have a ton of symptoms that align. I remember this case because she's like, how did you know that? I'm like, let me guess. You wake up at 3 a.m., you grind your teeth, you have allergies. Like, oh my God. Yeah. And long story short, she's been in and out of the hospitals. She's had a lot of things going on with her lungs and other things in her body. And sadly, I was right. Like, they found this stealth parasitic infection. And had she, you know, been able to address those things earlier on or pick these things up, even though she went to her doctor, they still dismissed her, right? And that's going to happen in conventional medicine. But at least then it's giving people the tools and the knowledge that they can advocate for themselves and pieces together if they can't afford, you know, to invest in working with a practitioner. So that's really where I think, you know, this webinar series that at the heart is, but to also help people who don't know about functional medicine. Like, I was writing my story last week with the story expert, and I was going through some things she challenged me on. And she's like, when was it that you were like, I'm done with conventional medicine? I was like, oh, it was the OBGYN's office, Judith Bressler. Okay. Like, me and OBGYNs that are skinny and fit. But then from there, what happened? What did I do? When I didn't know about functional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Even
the first couple of years in functional medicine for me, I know for you, it was a huge, like, pivotal moment when you worked with your functional medicine doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Even for me, I got to a certain spot, but like, it wasn't until multiple years into my journey of learning from different people that I found my answer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Vince and with understanding OID and metabolic inflexibility from his perspective and not just from like exercise more, eat less, you know, because I didn't have as much of the severe gut issues or any of those things. And so like, that's normally what most functional medicine certifications and, you know, doctors and all of those things go through initially. And so for me, that wasn't my answer. And it took longer to uncover and kind of find the fix for what I was dealing with and the inflammatory levels that I was dealing with and battling with. And so I think too, sometimes you might not always find the right fit right away. And that's also what we see with a lot of people coming into our practice is they've worked with so many other doctors and they're gun shy because of it. Like they've not been helped how they should have been helped. They haven't been, you know, evaluated at different aspects. And that's something that I try to explain to people is a lot of practitioners and a lot of doctors out there, unfortunately, kind of have like their way or their scope. And if you don't fit within that, like everything's mold, everything's parasites, everything's Lyme, everything's whatever, then it doesn't work for you because maybe you're a different type of case. And that's something that I really am proud of our practice and our team for is we work with so many complex cases because we are willing to look differently. We aren't going to suspect that it's one thing or that it's just this, like, because a lot of times it's layered. It's different. It's everyone presents differently in different aspects. And sometimes what you think should work doesn't work. And so having a practitioner that's willing to fight for you, that's willing to dive deeper and look in different areas and different expertises and find different people that maybe have answers that you don't, mm-hmm. is something our practice is really good at.
Yeah.
And that I don't see, unfortunately, a lot in other places. And it's really sad because these people invest a ton of money out of pocket and they trust people. And, you know, I've talked to multiple people, someone, even just last week, I was talking to someone and they were like, the person basically told me, if this doesn't work, I can't help you. It's like, you probably could if you tried differently or if you looked in different areas. And so it's hard, you know, when the initial introduction to functional medicine may not be your answer right away.
Well, and I think too, you know, that I rant about this and this really grinds my gears. There's a lot of practitioners out there that are selling tests and then what? Like, I mean, I got a message. It's a woman who's in our program now working with one of our practitioners. And she was like, hey, so like, I got this test and they didn't even offer a phone call or anything to explain it to me. Is this something that like, you know, my practitioner would be able to explain? I'm like, absolutely. Upload it. Let's review it with you and we'll help you get some answers. But also on the consumer side, I really try to warn people, like, if it's too good to be true, if you're paying $400 for a Dutch test, which by the way, that's almost, you know, practitioner pricing, you're not going to get anything with that, you know? And I think that it's really a disservice for these people, whoever they are, right? If it's an organization, if it's a practitioner or whatever that like gets an account and they're able to sell these things. And so they're like, oh, cool. I'll sell this for $500. So I'll make $100 on this test. I don't know how to interpret it. So I'm just going to sell the test. You know, I don't know if that's what they're doing, but oh, it really
they're doing.
Grinds my gears that
so many people, I have a post that is up around the Dutch test right now. I can't count how the number of people that reached out to me and were like, I have this test. Can you interpret it? I'm like, well, how'd you get it? And who ordered it? Mm-hmm. Why was it? 'Cause like the Dutch test has some nuance to it, but it's not that hard to interpret once you start to understand the tests and you've seen enough of them. And so I just don't, and I think maybe you can go on certain websites and get it, but like, then what are you doing? You're just ordering a test that you don't know how to get answers from it for.
Well, I think there's a difference between interpretation and then addressing.
Yes.
Right. So, okay, cool. We got a Dutch test, or cool, we got a GI map, or cool, whatever tests it is that you got. Well, now what do you do about it? Like, I'm doing a lab review tomorrow for someone, and I'm like, I don't even want to start with your gut zoomer. I want to know like your symptoms. I want to know what your blood work shows me. I want to follow the process that we do because I know that works. Mm-hmm. This gut zoomer, great. Everybody has bacteria that's out of balance. Everybody has inflammation in the gut. What's going on in your day-to-day life? You tell me that you eat clean. It's another one of those cases where I'm like, great, I bet I'm going to prove you wrong real fast, right? Because people think they're eating clean, and then you go in and you look and it's either a very, very limited diet or it's eat clean till I don't. Right. Until it's the weekend and then it's ham and well, yeah. And then there's a bottle of wine every night. Like, you know, we have some of those people and listen, we can work with you and help you through these processes, but just know when you're drinking a bottle of wine every night with your partner, it's going to slow us down a little bit. If it's on the weekends, right? Okay, cool. But like we're talking 14, 16, maybe 18 glasses of wine a week, depending upon how you're slicing the pie there and how big these wine glasses are. That's going to set you back a little bit when your thyroid and your liver are a big part of it. Anyway, so let's get into today's really the core messaging around this. We're wrapping up 2025. What's on deck for 2026? And where are you reflecting with how it went? You know, for us, I think in the business, it's been a really great year. If we look back to, I was thinking about this in the gym this morning. I was on maternity leave for January. Wasn't, you know, fully out, but there was chaos in the business. And I was thinking about the team that we have going into 2026. I'm really excited for that because 2025 was rocky at the start, but it was also a lot of like learnings. And then at the same time, massive growth in terms of Art and the team that he's been working with, bringing on support for him, bringing on support from the admin side. And, you know, it just, it takes a lot. And so I'm really, really proud of us for 2025 and where we have come. But looking at 2026, obviously the goals are even bigger. And so this doesn't happen without deep intention, lots and lots of hard work, late nights, early mornings, like you name it. But really, how do we shift this and look at, you know, an individual's perspective? Because I know that many people make New Year's resolutions and I don't remember the stats off the top of my head, but like upper of 93% are done with them by like week 12 or something, right? Like they don't even fall through.
Yeah. I think a lot of them are, they make them too extreme to where they're unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And the main reason that I like New Year's resolutions and just, I don't even like calling them resolutions, but more like evaluations and goal setting. Because if you want to become a better version of yourself, which hopefully you continuously want to, like I think that as a human being on this earth, you should want to better yourself over time. And that can look different for everyone. It doesn't have to be that you grow some huge business. It doesn't have to be that you lose 50 pounds. Like, I don't think that has to be it. But there has to be some level of evaluation and then systems put in place to fix whatever you want to fix or improve upon whatever you want to improve upon. And if you never look in the mirror and reflect on that, we talk about this all the time with health. Like, you have to have some level of awareness first before you make any type of change. And it's the same thing with self-development. And so in 2025, what are you proud of? Because you still need to pat yourself on the back. Like that's something as a business owner, you can start to ignore sometimes is like how many good things have happened because you're constantly flooded with the fires that need to put out. Like being a business owner, you really just get the biggest problems all the time that no one else wants to solve. Mm-hmm. And that's just like every day in the face, like fire hose. And so it can be really hard to stop and be reflective of how proud you are of where things have come from, because you just see the misses. You see the holes, you see the things that need to be improved upon all the time. And as a human, we're kind of bred to be that way. We're bred to see the problems. And so you need to take the time to be proud of what has been accomplished and what you have done. And if there's not a lot of that, then okay, like let's start working on making more of that. And then the planning, you know, what do I want? Like, what do I really truly want? And who do I need to help me get there? Because yes, you are a big part of your life, but we know that your support system, you're only going to be as strong as that in a lot of cases, because there are anomalies out there that I think can accomplish a lot even against the odds. Like, they have a family that's not supportive. They have a husband that doesn't want to eat healthy. They have not a lot of money, and they still somehow, you know, mm-hmm. rise from the ashes and make some incredible transformation. Honestly, like, those aren't common. I'll be honest. I think you really need to set yourself up for success, because even being someone that is relatively disciplined and has been very disciplined in the past, it's a lot harder when no one around you is doing the things that you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so I think evaluating what is that for you. I know for us, we know hard stop right now. Like, we cannot take any more clients. Mm-hmm. And we let that kind of be a little bit more wavering last year when we wanted to do that. And now it is, that has to be the answer, because we have to have the additional time to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And it's not because we don't want to help people. Our team's going to help people. I know I can.
You want to help people at a greater scale.
Yes.
Right. And so that requires stepping back to continue to train. You know, one of my clients who's like, I want to be a mini Liz. And I'm like, okay, well then you have to do like these things, right? These courses, these mm-hmm. steps in certification, and then get some experience under your belt. And so it's like, okay, looking at how do we build more, you know, of us, right? Liz and Becca, whatever. We want them to be their own, you know, person, yes. obviously, but that mentorship group and all of these things that people keep asking us about, it just doesn't happen if we don't do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was thinking about this, this morning, because I was listening to this podcast with Mel Robbins and this guy, I don't remember his name, but he spent half of his life, he's 47, I think, 46, 47, more than half of his life he has spent in prison or in juvie. And now he runs like this massive media company and just like really turned things around. But he was talking about, we all die and there's no bunk beds in the graveyards. And I was like, wow, right? Because nobody's coming with you and like none of your stuff is coming with you. So like thinking about the impact. And one of the things that resonated with me is that he's talking about, I'm doing the things I'm doing in my life now to give to the people that I will never meet, right? To, for example, like his last name, to carry that on. So they may never, you know me, but they will know the work that I did. They will know what our family stands for. They will know, you know, the purpose. And I was like, you know, that's a really good thing, because when people think about their life, you want to have purpose, you want to make a difference, but most importantly, you really want legacy. And then he was talking about, and this is a lot of what aligns with, you know, what I want to share with you guys in terms of, you know, the time passes anyway. We know that people will say like, oh, I have all these excuses. Like, I don't have time, or the season of life, it's been so challenging. And this, and like, people just bitch and like make all this stuff up. But it's like, if you look at what that person is doing, they do have time. Your priorities are just out of line. And, you know, the call that we were on last week with Bo and his group, I loved the way that he talked about, when you have a vision and you have a mission and you have a purpose, if there are things that distract you, it's just an automatic no. And so getting very clear on that, and then very clear on, does this take me closer or further away? Because if it's not taking me closer, then my answer is no. And similar to, you know, one of the girls, I don't know if you were on the call still, but she was saying like, my husband and I actually kind of canceled our honeymoon and we're just staying here and we're going to do like a in-clinic just workshop. Like, we're just grinding. We're just working. We're making our plans. Like, who cares about going and sitting at the beach? And I was like, I like that, you know, philosophy. Cause like, obviously we're going to Cabo for some of Art's business stuff. And then we're going to stay a couple extra days, one to celebrate our 10 year anniversary, but two, also like to work. Like, I feel that in those places you can be more creative and you can get, like, we've done this before where we've gone to like a hotel. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about anything that you're doing, anything that you're saying yes to, does it take me further or, you know, away from my goal, or does it take me closer? Because when you look in the mirror and you look back, like, I would say personally, there's a handful of times or a handful of things that I said yes to doing that I should not have, because it distracted me from things in the business, or it distracted me from the things that matter most in terms of when I have that time with my family, truly being there and showing up with them, or just not wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the excuse piece, this is a hard thing with balance. And I saw a quote from Hormozy the other day that I think was really, really good. And he talked about work-life balance. And he said, people that preach work-life balance typically are mediocre at both. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't ever commit to either fully. And the life piece of things, we aren't saying to not go on trips with your family or not have dedicated time with your family. But I think a lot of times we use each as kind of an excuse. Like when we're at work, we're there, but not fully there. We maybe aren't fully dedicated. We're just getting done the things that we know need to get done is kind of like a minimum. And then the life balance is more like, cause I just want a break from work, you know, or I want a break from whatever it is. When you look at how much time gets spent doing these things that are not really bringing you any value, and there's a lot of them today, like TV shows and movies that are, you know, yeah, I love a good TV show. I love a good movie, but I'm more of, okay, let's take 30 minutes and relax at night with something mindless and I can just disconnect maybe and spend time with my husband to watch a show, but it's not like I'm binging a show for an entire day or, you know, I'm scheduling my whole life around seeing this show because it comes out at this time, whatever.
Staying up way too late because you keep watching another episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with social media. Like, yes. Do I love social media? It's hilarious. I really just watch it sometimes for like, again, the disconnect, because that is for me. I take 5-10 minutes. I go and laugh at something because I love watching videos that just make me laugh. I ignore all the political stuff. I ignore all the things that stress me out. And I just want to watch like babies and dogs or, you know, people falling makes me laugh a lot of times. Maybe I'm a horrible person, but I love them.
Now we know what she searches for, people falling.
But a lot of times we go to these things as ways to disconnect from a life that we're trying to escape versus building a life that you're really proud of. And I think understanding kind of this resistance that starts to pull up, you have to really evaluate the questions that people are asking you, the things that people want you to do, because in most scenarios, people are in it for them. And when they ask you of things, it's typically for their benefit. And you have to evaluate, is it truly going to benefit what I want in my life? And honestly, it's not even to be a rude person or an unkind person. That's not like... But if someone asks you to help them move, or if someone asks you to volunteer for something and like, it doesn't really serve your bigger goal or your bigger purpose in life, it's a disservice to go and do it for them. Mm-hmm. Like you have to truly evaluate and look out for you in this life. And yes, be a kind person, you know, be with your family, be with your friends if that serves you. But if those friends are toxic, if they're people that are, you know, not bringing you closer to what you want for your life and what you're going to accomplish for your life, I don't know. I feel like it's not, you're not being selfish enough to truly live in your purpose.
Yeah. And one of the things that the guy was talking about on the podcast was having the fuck it button. So sorry if your kids are in the car, but he's like, honestly, you have to get to a place in your life where you just don't care what other people think. Right. So for example, Mel Robbins has her book, Let Them, mm-hmm. right? The Let Them Theory. And then he's talking about just, again, he spent a lot of time in prison and everything, and the life outside and the time that he wasted and the things that he did and like all these things. He's like, at the end of the day, I only have to answer to me and my higher power, whoever that is. And so whatever that person is thinking about you does not concern you. Who cares if they don't like you? Because they probably don't like people that you don't like, or, you know, whatever. That doesn't matter. Their likes to you does not matter. What matters is, again, what you're going to be doing to make your life fulfilling and how you show up in your life for your people who matter to you most. And so I think a lot of people, when we really look at, for example, social media, we look at the shoulds, we look at the keeping up with the Joneses and all of that stuff, they do things that they don't want to do or that, you know, don't serve them to please other people so that then they are liked. And so taking this back around to 2025, the reflection in that mirror, what are things that you did this year for other people? And how did it serve you? How did you leave? I always evaluate, like, how do you leave those people, those places? You know, do you feel like your cup is filled up? Do you feel more stressed out? Do you feel like, man, I wish that I wouldn't have had those 5 cocktails, or man, I wish I wouldn't have had, you know, whatever it was that you ate, because now you're on this journey to try to like get to a better body composition, but like you just keep slipping and sliding because you're trying to appease Grandma Joe who made, you know, these cookies, whatever, right? And so just really thinking about like, where do I need to push the F it button this year and say, forget it. I don't care what they think. A great example, honestly, was this past Sunday. Marcus had this ninja party and it was 2 hours. I was like, okay, in my mind, I'd like to drop him off so that I can go from 3 to 5 and run errands or go with my husband and spend time with him. or go study and work somewhere, right? Those were my three options. And it ended up that we all went, and then we left and we went to watch the Bears game, in which there was a coffee little setup at this bar that we went to. It was like a sports bar, right? Yeah. To go watch the Bears play the Packers down the street. And this girl had her whole coffee machine and matcha. That's why I asked you, because I got a matcha, iced matcha latte.
Mm, yeah.
It was so good. And I ordered some. It was $45. Kind of ridiculous, but it was really, really delicious. That I'm like, I'm going to get this. You know, we sat there, some friends came and met us that we hadn't seen in like a long time. It's great to spend 30 minutes with them, but that was way better in my opinion. I mean, granted, in other scenarios, I would have liked to gone and just worked for 2 hours by myself at Starbucks, you know, or studied or whatever, but it was better than sitting in a ninja place watching kids for 2 hours that I don't need to watch. It's a birthday party. They're all entertained by other people anyways. Yes. You know what I mean? And so it's some of those things. Part of me had this resistance to that because all the moms are going to be there, moms that I know, moms I'm friends with from school. Like, oh, I could like, then I'm like, I don't want to sit there and have these like fake conversations yes. for 2 hours. Right. So it's just thinking about where are those things like, because you want to be present in your kid's life and you want to be there, but at the same time, you have to protect your time.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, just remembering that there's so much that can be accomplished in those times that we're doing that we're distracted. Whether that is social media, it is saying yes to too many things. It's going to things you don't really want to go to, just because you're trying to appease other people. Put the effort button on. Going into 2026, we've talked about this before, but really having seasons, planning your year out and having intentions. Like our whole team, I don't know if you're doing it, but I think you probably are. Our whole team is going to do our cleanse process in January together as a group. That'll be so fun for us. I'm going to probably do the Pure Fast after that. That's what I'm thinking at least. And so having this accountability, having this community, this camaraderie of, hey, we're going to do this together. And that's a season. And then we're very intentional and we're dialed in and we're focused. We'll move into other seasons after that. I think a lot of times people go in and they just have no plan or they have these ridiculous ideas. I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week when I haven't gone to the gym in the past 6 months.
It's the first question I ask people when I'm talking to people in my DMs and they tell me their symptoms. I ask, what have you done to try to resolve it? Because a lot of people have, they know what their symptoms are. They know what their problems are. They have been dealing with them for years, many of them. And when I ask what they've done to resolve it, there's usually maybe a supplement here or there. There's a doctor's visit that resulted in nothing. And one of the big things I talked about on my stories yesterday was around systems and how when you're dealing with issues or symptoms or just not feeling well, like you have to have some level of strategy to build consistency. And the only reason that I have been consistent this past year when work has been more busy and life in general has been more busy is because I have systems in place. Because I have a gym routine that I know what I'm doing when I go to the gym. I know what days I'm going to the gym. And if I can't make it certain days because of work is too much or whatever might be going on, I make it up other days. Like I have a rule for myself and I hold myself to it. And if for whatever reason, 1 week I can only get two versus three, the next week I make sure I get three. Like there has to be some level of you mattering enough to do the things that are worth it to you and that are going to get you to where you want to be. Because no one's going to give you a gold medal for consistency. And no one sees the consistency unless they're being consistent with you. You do it in silence. You do it in the darkness. And it is what gets you ultimately to where you want to be. It's not an overnight thing ever. And when it comes to dietary consistency, this is where I think having a coach, a mentor, a practitioner, whatever it might be, can be so helpful even for a period of life. Because what I have learned from all of my coaches and mentors and my certifications and every education piece that I've done is how to seasonally adjust my diet so that I'm going through phases of building intake, maintaining my weight, pushing more in the gym, feeding my body, because we know it needs to go through seasons of that. And then I do seasons of fasting now. I don't really do calorie deficits anymore, like 8 to 12 week calorie deficits, because what research seems to show is it's less metabolically damaging to do shorter periods of fasting, and it's more effective on inflammation levels. It's more effective on weight maintenance. And I personally just feel better when I fast. I find inflammation falls down a lot more for me than if I do like gritting my teeth through 3 months of, you know, 500 less calories a day or whatever it might be. And so I schedule my month or my months and my year in that way, but it's systematic. It's intentional. It's not, oh, I don't feel good today. I'm going to cut my calories. It's, oh, I do feel a little bloated today, but like I'm in my season where I'm eating more right now. So I'll make sure that I maybe get an extra walk in, I'll get some extra water in, but like, this is what I'm committed to, and then staying committed to it. And I think that that is something that a lot of people really struggle with, because they are so tied to their emotions. When emotions are fleeting, emotions are levels of input that you can decide to take or not. And when we live by our emotions, you are never going to be consistent with anything.
Well, and I think too, it's a big snowball that can really happen very quickly. So if you think about it does take a lot of time, effort, and energy to plan your week when you're just starting out.
Yes.
For me now, it's like autopilot. I know what I get at the grocery store because I know generally what our family eats in terms of stir fries and salads and sides and stuff like that. Like, it's not rocket science, because we're also not in a season where we're making all these like fancy meals the way that, you know, we used to. It's like, hey, we have a protein, we have a veggie of some sort, and then carbohydrates we generally, you know, put on rotation, or right now I'm in a sourdough kick. But at the same time, when, for example, we go to the cleanse, that is going to be more intentionally planning, because I got to have way more fruits and veggies and things, you know, juices and stuff like that to put into smoothies, because it'll be both my husband and I doing it. And so that's going to shift and it's going to look different. So on the front end, it takes a little bit more time to prep and plan and prepare that. But once you're in your routine, it's easier. And I think some people will shy away from even starting because they feel so overwhelmed. If that's you, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, man, this is hitting home because I haven't reached my goals, not just in 25, but maybe 24, 23, 22. I keep saying I'm going to do the things, but I'm not actually doing the things. Then the question that we have to ask is, what strategy did you actually implement? Because if you are saying from an emotional perspective, I don't feel like, I don't have time. No, you have the time. You didn't make the time. Therefore, it's not a priority to you. And you're distracted by a bunch of other things that don't help you get to your goal. And so you have to be the one that changes and shifts that. But you have to be the one that says, okay, no matter how I feel, the groceries get into my house one way, shape, or form. It's 2025, going in 2026. Guess what we have, friends? Instacart. Yeah, you pay an extra $10. Guess what? For me, with two kids in the snow, I have not felt like I'm going to go and do a big old trip at Aldi or Mariano's or whatever. So I'm going to pay that extra $10 to Instacart. Like, that's fine with me, because I also know it's a lot less frustration, a lot less time. And to be honest, with a six-year-old, I'm sure you feel this too, it's cheaper to pay the extra $10. Because when you take them with you, you're spending like an extra $50, especially at Target. Every time we go, it's like, where? How did we end up here? And why do we have all these things? I told you one thing and now we have three. He's a great negotiator. But, you know, really thinking about, if you don't feel like getting the things in your house, then guess what happens? Come Monday morning, you're going to follow, ooh, I feel like a warm bagel and cream cheese from Panera because, delicious. I get it. But then you continue to stay in the spiral of not hitting your goals and being mad about it and continuing to struggle with symptoms. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's up to you to be the person that decides you're done with your own BS. You're done letting your emotions dictate what you're going to do. And you're going to get in the driver's seat and you're going to make decisions like an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think you have to realize you need to expect resistance. You need to expect challenge. You need to expect things to come up. Because if you think that once you make your decision, I'm going to do this goal, I'm going to accomplish it, I'm going to set out my path, and it's going to be easy, it's not. And this is something I actually have really loved the journal that Liz and I have, or the devotional, is that it forces you to evaluate, like, where do you see the resistance in your day to day? Like, where are you seeing these things pull you away from God, or pull you away from your bigger dream, or pull you away from whatever it might be that you're trying to accomplish? Like, it makes you dive into it and then evaluate, how am I handling this resistance? You know, how am I handling the challenges that I'm facing every day, whether that be temptation from food or someone wanting to go out for drinks, or, you know, it being so cold and snowy, and so I don't want to go to the gym, or whatever. I'm tired, I didn't sleep well, you know, whatever it is. I kind of now see that as, okay, what is this trying to teach me? What is this trying to show me? And what do I do anyways? Because when you can overcome that challenge, that resistance, that wanting to stop working and scroll social media, or, you know, your friends wanting to go out that night or whatever it might be, I am always so much prouder of myself when I overcome that and move past it versus give into it. And again, this is an emotional thing, right? Your emotions are going to want you to be safe. They're going to want to keep you stuck because that's comfortable for it. Being uncomfortable, doing things that you've never done before, like your body's not wanting to push you in that place. And so you have to overcome the mind and the emotional piece of it, because you truly will never accomplish the dream if you don't get uncomfortable, if you don't go through those dark places, if you don't go against that resistance that you're going to face every day. And it's hard because we talk to people and like, you want to be sympathetic, and we are, we're empathetic, we're sympathetic of people's lives. But when you know, the thing that I always remind myself of is there are people in much harder situations that have accomplished much more. Mm. And I know they're out there. I know that, you know, there's single moms, there's people that have put themselves through school, there's people that have held job, multiple jobs. Like, there are people doing it. And so why can't I do it? Like, why wouldn't I be able to do it? And even if there aren't people doing it, heck, why can't I be the first? Mm-hmm. Like, why can't I go against the grain and do the things that people say I shouldn't do or people think you can't do? And this is something I've really loved. And the example I think about with Bo, one of our mentors, he played in the NFL, and he talks about how his son growing up wanted to play in the NFL. And a lot of people say like, oh, well, let's be realistic. You know, like the chances of you playing in the NFL or the chances of you going to the MLB or whatever it might be are pretty low. So like, maybe we just pull back the dream a little bit. No, screw that. Like, then he's not going to believe he can do it. Mm. And so it's something that my kid's only 7. Like, I realize this, but something that I've really tried to not do is put down Carson's dreams. Like, he wants to go play for the Phillies. Like, screw it. I'll support you. I will consolidate whatever I need to. I will get you into the environments that allow you to do that, whatever it is. Because if that's what you truly want to do, I'm not going to push you there if you don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. But right now, that's all he wants. He wants to play baseball all the time, every day. And so I'm like, great. I'm going to facilitate that for you because I'm going to feed the dream that you have. I'm not going to shut it down. And it's the same thing for us. Like, I have lived in a place of being too small for too long, and it's my own doing. And I'm sure, yeah, there's some outside influences of like, can you really build that? Is that really, you know, like, it's pretty hard to build a business that big. It's pretty hard to grow something that big. But like, I'm so over it. And it's such a refreshing feeling to like truly believe of what you can actually accomplish.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's just putting your blinders on, to be honest. Like, you know me, I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck those people are doing over there. I don't really care. Because it doesn't influence me. Like, I'm not going to make different business decisions based upon what those people are doing. And I think for us, like, God has to also place it in our heart to have certain, you know, visions and goals and dreams, and then, you know, help us fulfill that. But when you don't have your blinders on, you are very distracted. Again, you're looking at what Susie's doing. Susie's doing keto, and Susie lost 20 pounds. I'm going to start keto. Bitch, you don't have a gallbladder. You cannot do keto appropriately because you're going to have an accident in your pants because you cannot tolerate these fats. Okay. You know what I'm saying is, like, just because that's what that person is doing doesn't mean that's right for you. And so you really have to get your blinders on, and then you really have to cut out all of the distraction, all of the noise, all of those things that are pulling you back from believing that you can achieve the impossible. And sadly, a lot of people have this in their own home, and it could be, you know, a spouse that holds them back. That's really, really probably one of the biggest things that hurts me with all of the women who schedule calls and they talk with our team, and then they're like, oh, my husband's not on board. It's an investment in these things. And it's like, but if that was your husband and he was, you know, going to go play golf, he would not even blink an eye at, you know, the investment of that. Mm-hmm. But for you to feel better because you are so tired all the time, taking care of kids, trying to maintain this house, trying to maintain your job, but you have brain fog and you have no sex drive and you, you know, can't get your head off of the pillow at 3 p.m. Like, that breaks my heart because people face this resistance in their own home. And so within that frame, you have to be the person that then expects the resistance and says, I'm going to do something for myself anyway. It may not be, because obviously I'm not telling you just like overwrite him. It may not be like a big financial investment, but it could be that somebody says, you know what? And we've seen this time and time again. We've proven doctors wrong time and time again. You're never going to walk. You're never going to do this. Like, I have a client, she wants to have another baby, and she was having all of these hamstring issues, these glute issues, and hip pain from different injuries and a fall that she had. And she's been in PT for 3 years. Long story short, we've gotten rid of the hamstring pain. We've gotten rid of the glute pain with peptides. She's doing amazing. And her doctor is like, you have the green light. You want to get pregnant? I think you're going to handle it just fine, which is awesome. But there are things and people in your life that are going to give you resistance. Your dream is going to give you, you know, resistance. And what I think about is every day in the face of that resistance, I just have to do it anyway. I just have to keep pushing through. You just have to, like, handle it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we have each other and we have our team and we have friends in, you know, the space, and we, you know, communicate and complain about things, you know, from time to time. This is like, man, like, this is hard. But I love what Bo said about expect resistance. Like, you will never outgrow resistance. Even the people that you look up to, whether it is somebody who has a business, it's a celebrity, it's whoever it might be, and you're like, man, I wish that I could create what they have or have their life or live the dream that they have and all that stuff. They just got better at facing the resistance and doing it anyway, instead of letting that resistance knock them down and say, I quit, I give up, it didn't work out, you know, whatever. Some of those are the best stories. You know what I mean? When you hear those things. And so as we close this out, I really would just encourage you to take some time, look in the mirror at 2025. No judgment, no shame, but just a really honest conversation with yourself. Where did I spend too much time that I shouldn't have, that I was distracted from my dreams and my goals? Where did I let my emotions dictate my actions rather than being in the driver's seat and making decisions that align with my goals? And where did I maybe, you know, stumble in terms of not getting the right community or not surrounding myself with people? Maybe I'm still hanging around those crabs in the bucket, people that are all constantly pulling me down, constantly being a bad influence, constantly bringing over the pies and the cakes and the alcohol and like all these things that like just don't serve you. Where were those times? And what do I want to create in 2026? How do I want to approach not being so distracted, not wasting so much time, and really shifting that and putting that into, you know, investing your time, your energy into your goals and commit to it. Write it down, vision board it. I think there's a lot of power in that, you know, like looking back for me, I try to pick a word each year, and I just think for 2026, my word is going to be expand, because we've had like growth and, I forgot, I have to go back, but it was more like around, growth, and we've done that, but now it's expansion. How do we expand the mission? How do we expand the vision and expand our team and their knowledge? And then therefore we can expand our reach to people, and doing this all with a lot of resistance, expecting a lot of fires to put out, expecting that it's going to be really freaking hard. It's going to be the hardest year in business that we've had, because we're going to expand more than we ever have.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when you learn to delegate things and offload things, you're going to have bumps in the road. And, you know, this is more of like a business owner perspective. And for those of you that don't run a business, I'm sure this isn't as relevant, but like when you start to give off the things that you were taking on, sometimes people don't do them as well right away, and that's okay. Like, that's the area of opportunity. That's the area of growth. And so I'm beyond excited for this year. I think it's going to, you know, each year we've grown more and more in the business, and it's awesome to reflect and see all of that. But it just fuels the fire for wanting more. And so in 2026, we encourage you to reflect, be proud of yourself, but never be satisfied. And really try to evaluate what it might take for you to get to where you want to be. And it might not happen just in 2026. It might, you know, it might take longer than a year, and that's okay. But I always want to get to the end of a year and be truly proud of the effort I put in towards what I wanted to accomplish. And if you can do that, sure. Things take longer than you want them to take. Like, that's just the reality of things. And as long as you are moving forward at a pace that feels challenging but doable, I think you're in the right spot. So,
and I would also just add that if you didn't get, you know, things accomplished this year, maybe you kept, you know, running your head into a wall or whatever. Like, we always say, reflect on what were the lessons inside of that, because you figured out, you actually probably learned more than things going very well, right? You figured out what didn't work. You figured out what you don't want, which is oftentimes what leads you to finding what works and what you do want. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that is held true for me in my personal life, in terms of, you know, self-development and things that I think about from a business perspective, but also as a practitioner and also as a business owner, you figure out the things that you don't want. You know, we have some very good mentors, but I still have my blinders on because I honestly, I don't think that I want some of the things that, you know, they're doing. That's just that's not for me. And that's okay. That's what makes us who we are. And the more that we can be laser focused, head down, mission and vision driven. That was a big word there. I was trying to say, the more clarity that we gain, there's a cost. I mean, we have invested probably at this point over six figures in things that didn't work out or mentors that really didn't provide us the things that we thought were going to provide us. But at the same time, it really taught us for what we have on deck in the future, what we won't be doing and delivering and what we will be. And so that lesson, I think, is also like invaluable. So I know that things don't always go according to plan. Things take a lot of extra time for sure. Like my husband always says, it's going to cost twice as much as you think it is going to, and it's going to take twice as long as you think it's going to, because, you know, there's so many things that when you think big and you think grand and you think bigger, why am I not dreaming bigger? Why can't I, you know, have these big, big, huge, massive goals? When you start to think that way, then you really have to look and evaluate, okay, this is then what it's going to take. And it's twice as much work. It's twice as hard. It's twice as long. So don't get discouraged, head down. And like Becca said, I can't reiterate that enough. I love what you mentioned about being proud of the progress that you did make. Even if you didn't achieve everything you wanted, you made progress toward it. Like, I think for us, we might miss our financial goal this year, but you know what? We made massive amounts of progress in 1 year relative to 5-6 years that it took us to get to the first. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think we probably had a bigger growth year this year than any other year.
Right. But just we're just crazy.
We're crazy. And
put things out there that we're like, we're going to do this. And we will. We will do it in 2026, even bigger and better. But anyways, with all of this said, as you go into the Christmas week, remember that you matter. That's all I can say. Your emotions matter. Create space if you need to. Step away. If people are triggering you, just walk away. Don't let them trigger you. I've been around the block too many times with that, with family functions and phone calls and all those types of things. And it's like, man, I'm going to have that button in the back of my mind. What he mentioned in the podcast, I just put the F a button. It's okay. We'll move on from this. We're not going to let this trigger me. We're not going to get emotionally involved. We're not going to accept that gift, right? The analogy that you gave.
Yes. I love that analogy. The two monks story walking down the street and some lady comes up like berating them, yelling at them, being rude and mean. And one of the monks actually starts yelling back. And when they walk away, the monk that didn't yell back, you know, was asked by the other monk, like, how could you not say something? How could you not defend yourself? And he said, she was trying to give me the gift of anger. And what happens if you don't take a gift that someone tries to give you? Who does that gift stay with? Stays with them. Mm-hmm. So just a little food for thought. For those people that really get under your nerves and really bother you and, you know, all the things, you don't have to interact with them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feed into it, guys. Like, if it does not serve me or progress me forward in any way, like, why do I want to just argue with someone? Why is that helpful? This is how I feel about politics. Like, this is completely how I feel. Our family, total transparency, my family is very divided on politics. I don't even engage because am I going to change someone's mind? No, I'm not. So why am I going to sit here and waste my time and argue at 11 o'clock at night? I'm going to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. That is going to serve me a lot better. So that's just my rant to end this. But if someone wants to give you a gift of anger or a gift of rudeness or a gift of whatever negative thing there is, guess what? You can keep that gift. I'm not going to take it.
Merry Christmas.